Thursday, May 4th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight we tell tales of injury and disease.
Let's do this!
So everyone who knows me knows that I have this stupid bucket hat that I wear every now and then.
Yeah.
Whenever I need a hat to put on, whenever I don't feel like combing my hair, I put on this green bucket hat. I've had it for a long, long time.
Isn't that it's like a useless piece of just cloth.
I like it. Now, in fact, it's my second stupid hat. I replaced the previous stupid hat that I'd worn all through high school, and then someone stole from me during orientation at RIT. Someone actually stole it.
I wore many different hats over the years. I mean, in elementary school, I had like a hat with some basketball team on it. And then in middle school, I don't think I had a hat in middle school because they didn't allow you to wear a hat in middle school. But then,
oh, they didn't let us either, but I wore them outside of school all the time.
Yeah, then in high school, I got the Mets hat, and then I kept that to college. And then around freshman year, I just stopped wearing it.
See, I don't like wearing hats with stuff on them. And for the longest time, I eventually found a black baseball cap with no logo or anything on it. It's just a black baseball cap with a gray brim.
See, it was all about, I used to wear the hats that had the adjustable size in the back. And then I discovered the fitted hat, and that's when I was able to wear it for extended periods of time. Because the one with the adjustable size is not comfortable at all.
Well, it depends. If you get the crappy one with those plastic nubs that fit into the other plastic holes, that's crap.
That's the crap one I'm talking about.
No. See, my hat is adjustable. But it's nice, because instead of that, it has a leather strap in the back that you can adjust to any size.
Yeah, it's a little better, but it's still not as good as the hat that is your size.
That's really comfortable, and I can adjust it depending on my hair. The size of my hair determines how big my head is in any given day.
My hair is always the same size.
Anyway, I've had this hat for a long time. It is a fairly iconic hat of Rim. I'm often wearing it, you know, at the beach or when I'm a bum. The other day, I was running along the railroad tracks, and I was hot. I was wearing my hat, so I took it off, and I put it in my pocket, and I kept running. Somewhere along a span of at least 4 miles, it fell out of my pocket, and I don't know where.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rather miffed at this. In fact, I ran back along the railroad tracks today to try and find it. And it wasn't there, at least in the span that I ran in. So if there's a decent chance that someone took my stupid hat off the railroad tracks on the ground and did something with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think an animal took it. There's no trains.
I don't know why anyone want your stupid hat.
Yeah, it's kind of raggedy and old.
It's not even a hat. If you saw it lying there, you'd say, hey, there's some tattered piece of material.
It wasn't that tattered.
It wasn't tattered, but it's just kind of flumpy.
Oh, well, at least I'll just buy a new one.
Yeah. I don't know where you're going to find such a useless hat.
They sell them all over the place. I bought that for like $8 at Kmart when I was in high school.
Awesome, Kmart. Kmart doesn't really exist that much anymore. I mean, there's one over there, but that's about it.
Yeah, but out in the Midwest, there's still a lot of them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to the Midwest, are we?
Nah.
When's the last time you were in the Midwest?
I think it was ASEN.
Which was when?
A while ago.
Yeah, long time ago.
Maybe I'll fly out there when I visit my dad and I'll buy a hat. I need a goddamn hat.
I'm flying to Detroit because I need to buy me a hat.
Yeah. You know what? I'll go to that leather shop, too, and buy new boots.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, actually, my boots are fine. I just have to take care of them. If you can't tell, we're stalling because we don't have so much good news.
There's not much to talk about. We're bored. We're tired.
You're tired. I'm fine. I don't know what's wrong with you.
What do you mean, what's wrong with me? How many times are you all tired and I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Never.
Many times.
When? When?
Many, many times.
Name one time.
Last week.
When? What day?
Someday.
Nah, that's not good.
Just because I can't name this specific day doesn't mean it didn't
happen.
I got
a specific one right now with Scott.
You suck.
Anyway, in the news, all right, Blu-ray, DVD. Well, God, Blu-ray. All right, here's my prediction that Blu-ray is going to fail solely because, even just now, not intentionally, I said Blu-ray, DVD instead of just Blu-ray.
Yeah.
The name is Blu-ray. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Not Blu-ray disc, not Blu-ray, it's just Blu-ray. But DVD is one of those words like MP3 that seems to have infiltrated the consciousness of even non-geeks. I mean, how many people, when they want, you know, music on their computer, they say MP3. They don't know that MP3 is a format of a file. They think MP3 means sound on a computer.
Yeah, they might be getting AACs and WMAs. They don't know.
Yeah.
Or A-tracks.
But anyway, Blu-ray DVD was delayed again.
Wow.
Now, it's going to come out in the middle of June, and it wasn't delayed for any technical reason, as far as I can tell. It was delayed because the players aren't coming out until June, and Sony Entertainment wanted to release their discs, the Blu-ray DVDs, in May, which is just fantastic. You know, have discs for sale that there's no player in the world that can play them.
Well, I think the idea of that is, you put the discs on store shelves, and people can either A, buy the discs in anticipation of buying the player, or B, get comfortable with the fact that, okay, these discs are available, and then, you know, get the player. You don't go buying a DVD player when there's no DVDs in the store. You have to have the DVDs in the store first, then people will buy the player.
All right, point the first. The 12 or so movies that are being released on Blu-ray first are either of, they're one of two categories, unmitigated crap or movies that in no way will benefit from being on an HD format.
Uh-huh.
Movies that really didn't benefit much from being on DVD.
Well, if the movies weren't made in HD, really, then it doesn't really...
I don't think there are many people out there who can really tell the difference between a DVD and an HD Blu-ray DVD.
I can tell the difference on the same television, as long as, you know,
it has to be a good HD television.
Yeah.
I mean, our TV, there's no way to tell because our TV's just not that good.
Our TV's not HD at all. So.
However, HD TVs are very, very expensive compared to normal TVs.
You can get some smaller ones now, but it's still expensive.
This is America. You expect someone to buy a small TV.
Relatively.
How many people do you see they have this?
You can get a 36-inch HD TV nowadays.
Yeah, for quite a bit of money compared to what we paid for.
It's a couple hundred dollars more than a non-HD equivalent.
That's quite a bit of money for very little actual difference.
Yeah, but that's 720p. If you can get something to go to 1080p,
then it's a lot more money for still not that much of a difference.
It's a pretty big difference if it's utilized. That's the problem, is not too many things utilize the HD to the fullest.
Because it's hard to utilize.
No kidding. And
it's also expensive to utilize, and in many cases, it doesn't really add anything.
A lot of times it takes away things.
Yep, I mean...
Unless you've got an Xbox 360.
And even then, most of the games aren't actually HD, they're just upsampled.
Yeah, yep.
But anyway, the reason they really delayed it was that all the retailers and the people and the other studios said, hey, you can't release those discs so soon. We don't want to have you stuck with these things on our shelves with a month of no one buying them. Release them later. Mm-hmm. And Sony said, crap. And they had these negotiations, and the negotiations broke down, and then Sony said, all right, fine, we'll delay everything. Gah.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I predict that Blu-ray is going to be a miserable failure.
HD DVD also.
I'm not even going to get me started on HD DVD, but I think it has a slight edge in that it has the letters DVD in it.
Well, everyone knew it had that edge from the beginning.
That's the only edge.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, the Blu-ray was really banking on, you know, people buying PS3s that, ooh, I want the game system, but it's also a Blu-ray player, woo, but... PS3 is not looking so hot right now either.
I have a feeling they're both going to become another mini disc, whatever. Unless the computer drives can drop in price quick enough to make HD DVDs or Blu-rays useful for data, or unless porn studios can start putting out HD porn in high quantity.
Porn studios don't want HD porn.
Yeah?
You realize most porn is shot with a soft focus, because if you have really good clarity, it just looks disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. The porn industry has very little interest in HD formats at this time. There have actually been a couple articles on FARC about that recently.
Awesome. That means it's going to fail. You don't have porn. Your technology can't win.
Yeah, for anyone out there who doesn't know, and we're not kidding, we're not just saying this. You can verify this from respected sources. The primary driving force in consumer home entertainment technology and theater technology for the past 50 years has been pornography.
If your technology doesn't have pornography in some way, it's going to fail.
We're not even kidding.
Look, Atari, Custer's Revenge, NES had those strip poker games. DOS, there are porn games for DOS.
The first applications of VHS were mostly pornography.
It's all porn. Porn drives information technology,
now,
period.
The number two drive is actually military research.
Yep.
There's really almost nothing after that. No one cares about the market. The market comes after the porn.
If your technology does not have any violence or sex, it's not going to make it. HD DVD doesn't have, and Blu-ray don't have violence or sex. They're,
I think
they're screwed.
The main thing about Blu-ray and all that that I'm thinking about more and more is that DVD was such a huge leap over VHS. And at that time, computer technology was nowhere near the capability of playing those kinds of movies just on a computer without any sort of physical media.
It's true.
Now we're beyond that. We're getting to the point where you could give people just data files. It doesn't matter what the format is, and they could play them on a computer or some intelligent device.
Mm-hmm.
By locking into a format like Blu-ray or HD DVD, you're just locking yourself into something that's going to be obsolete and crappy within a few years.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea, is that they want to make money by selling you the same movie 10 or 15 times throughout the course of your life as you switch from one media to the next.
Yeah, you know what the best movie that's going to be released on Blu-ray is? The Fifth Fucking Element.
Really?
Of the list, that was the only movie that...
Are just the launch titles.
Yeah, but The Fifth Element doesn't need HD. You're not going to get anything.
It wasn't filmed really in HD.
She's not going to say multipass better.
Multipass.
That's one of my favorite movies ever.
It's all right. Great. So... that Oblivion game that everyone's playing that I'm not really interested in at all.
I'd be interested in it if it were better, but I like the idea of games like that.
Yeah, actually, when I found out the game wasn't like Baldur's Gate where you have to click all the time and it's more like a first-person thing, I was more interested in it. It's just, it still has, you know, the same tedium sort of stuff going on.
To me, I like games like that, but I don't want to play them in a sandbox. Single-player games of that magnitude, I feel like I'm wasting my life playing them.
Yeah.
An MMO would be cool if it was like that, just freeform, crazy complex, no balance whatsoever, deal with it kind of world.
Anyway.
That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. So the game had a rating of T for teen. I'd have never played the game, so I don't know if that's an accurate rating.
Mostly because when you hit someone, they scream and bleed.
So it's realistic.
It's pretty realistic. It's as realistic as you'll get from a game like that.
All right. The gay ESRB changed the rating to M.
Now, why oh why did they do this?
Apparently, they found some violence and such that they didn't know about before.
The violence wasn't really the main driving
point.
Yeah,
actually, most of it was the violence.
The topper was the... topless model.
There wasn't really top. There isn't any toplessness in the game. They just have a model, but when the model appears in the game, it's covered by underwears. And on the Xbox 360 version, you can't possibly mod it to.
This is the same as that hot coffee issue.
No, it's not. It's slightly different.
Nah, because it's something that's in the game that you're not supposed to be able to access, so it effectively isn't there.
But they're also changing the rating on the Xbox 360 version, where you can't access it no matter what.
Yeah, well, because it's one game. I don't know if they like the idea of having the same game have two different ratings.
I don't know, but the company that makes it was like, oh, we don't care. Do whatever you want. Change the stupid rating. We're not changing our game. Fuck you.
Yeah, if the ratings are really meaningless at this point. Parents ignore them or don't understand them. Kids don't care. Stores don't care. I mean, if the 1EB won't sell the game because it's rated M to a kid, the GameStop next door will.
Well, actually, nowadays, I think I heard 70% or so of stores are actually selling by the ratings.
Are they really, though? I mean, remember, most stores like that are staffed by one or two dudes who are younger than us just hanging out. They don't care.
Yeah.
If I were working at a GameStop, I probably wouldn't even think about the ratings. Unless my manager was standing there.
I definitely don't look at the ratings of games when I go to the store at all. You know, when you go to the movie, I don't even look at movie ratings anymore. I used to when I was a kid and it kind of mattered, but nowadays, no.
See, the nice thing, when I was a kid, it didn't matter. The theater near us didn't care.
Yeah.
I just went to see R-rated movies all the time.
Our theater acted like they cared, but they really didn't.
Our theater was like, we don't care. They were pretty open about it.
Awesome.
I'll bet that's changed.
The problem I see here is that the ESRB is getting bashed, like really bashed, by all the evil fucktards in the government. And if they go around changing the ratings on games, that's sort of like saying, yeah, we suck. They should have just let it slide and no one would have made a big deal about it. And no one would have found out or continued to bash them. So it's like they're covering their ass because they, you know, on an issue that they didn't really need to cover. And thus exposing that there was an issue to cover, which no one knew about. You know, it's like if I had a gaping hole in my armor, and then I patch it up, someone goes, oh, I didn't know you had a hole in your armor. Oh, look at that. He had a hole in his... He makes shitty armor. That's what I thought. You know, if you just let it slide, no one would have noticed there was a hole. You'd be all right.
All right, so my thing of the day, I got to give some props to Laz on the forums for pointing this out to me.
I think Laz stands for Legend of Zelda. Am I wrong?
That would make sense.
Yeah, that's what I thought it stood for.
Laz seems particularly cool and geeky, but Laz pointed out to us that there is this video online, and it is definitely Thing of the Day worthy, and once I watched it, it had to be. I have to share this with the world. So anyone who doesn't go to the forums isn't going to know what this is until I actually say it.
Holy crap.
Kind of an incentive to hit the forums. You get the scoop.
Well, you get the scoop sometimes.
Yeah.
And most of the time you try to scoop us and you fail.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, this thing is it's a video about Mario kicking some Goomba's butts and doing the whole flag thing.
Great. We haven't seen that video 1,000 times.
However, it's done in this very Soviet-style propaganda awesome. It even has Soviet music playing in the background from the Red Russian Choir. It's awesome. I mean, it ends with, like, Mario with his giant hammer standing there, and there's the flag, and it's really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
The only gripe I have about it at all is that, in terms of the audio, they should have, one, used higher quality sound effects.
They should use Mario sound effects. The sound effects they used were kind of annoying and loud and good.
No, the only reason they were annoying is because they were low quality, the audio. If they had used those sound effects, higher quality would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
And if the sound effects had been a lot quieter and the music had been a lot louder, they really didn't set up their, not to get an audio crap, but they didn't really set up their soundscape properly. So the sound effects was overpowering, but you kept wanting to turn it up to hear the music.
Yeah.
It had to be the other way around. But ignoring that, it's awesome.
It seems like it's something that's really old, like I've seen it before, but I can't actually say, aha, that I did see it before, because I don't remember it, and it was still awesome when I watched it.
I think that's partly your desire to not have been scooped on something that cool.
No. It seems like, you know, I can't tell when it was made, but I feel like I've seen something similar in the past.
Uh-huh.
Maybe in a past life.
Dude, just let it go. You got scooped.
No, really, I don't care. So I found this other Mario thing, because what the hell?
Wait, is this the thing I told you about?
Maybe.
That's fine, the Bullet Bill thing.
It's a Bullet Bill game.
Yeah.
It's a game where you're Bullet Bill, and you have to smash Goombas and bricks and stuff, but you can't hit the mushrooms in the ground or else you die. And then you get shot out of the cannon again, and you have to do it again.
Now, this is the fun, unique kind of game I like. I like games that put you in a cool situation like that. I'd like to see a Flash game where you play all the bad guys against Zelda.
That'd be a good game.
Yeah, it'd be a good multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should make that, or someone out there should make it so I can play it.
Yeah, just make a Mega Man game, but you're Flash Man, or you're Metal Man.
Or make a Mega Man game where it's two-player, and one guy controls each of the bad guys as it comes down, and then controls the boss.
Yeah, it's all right.
Or make it like in North versus South, where you're walking, you're Mega Man, and the other guy has a limited number of enemies that they can drop down and control on you.
That was a good one. If you haven't played North versus South for the NES, you're missing out. That's a great two-player game. Yes. Oh, my God.
It's fairly terrible, but it's terrible in that awesome kind of way.
It's not terrible. It's fantastic.
It's got its issues.
Basically, the only issue with it is once you build up the skills, you're golden.
No, the issue with it is that in the combat...
Oh, the war combat with the cannons and the horses and
the combat, if you play from a fully enlightened game theory position where you make the optimum move, it'll often come down to the fact where it's a perfect stalemate and someone has to force themselves... Someone basically has to quit and lose their army. And there's no way for either team to actually kill the other team. It's a perfect stalemate and whoever makes the first move loses, so you have no incentive to ever act. And the game ends.
Well, you do have an incentive to move your guys around so they don't get cannoned if the other guy has good cannon skills.
No, because the cannon runs out after 6 shots.
Oh, yeah, but then you can have multiple cannons.
No, yeah, up to 3, and then they all run out. Then what? Now you've got that little bridge, and you've both got 6 dudes on either side, and whoever walks forward, the other guy's going to shoot and then win.
Well, it depends.
No, it doesn't depend. I've played this game hundreds and hundreds of times.
If you send out your horsey guys, I'll summon out my gun guys and vice versa.
Yeah, the horsey guys will probably just die.
Well, the horsey guys can win if they rush.
No,
like,
they can't win if the player plays optimally on the other side.
Nah,
he just sits there with his gun, guys. There's no reason for you to ever advance. If the horsies come, you shoot them.
You can fake the other guy. You send your horsey guys to make him move his guys, and then you send your other, you stop them, and you move the other guys down to the other
bridge.
Because
you can't stop them. They keep going. They go right into the water and die.
You can stop them.
No, you can't. You cannot stop them once they go. They
can whatever. We're not talking about North Side. We're talking about Bullet Bill.
Yeah, but don't talk about something you don't know.
I know about it. I played this game many times.
Yeah, and you know what? If you play the game
and
properly...
And the problem in the combat is that you have a lot of guys to control, and you can only control one at a time, and the cannons are really hard to control. So if anyone has the cannon skill, it doesn't matter how big your army is, you'll get owned.
No, the cannon skill is useless, because even if you play the cannon perfectly, there's no way you'll hit anyone's stuff if they have even half a shit worth of skill.
If I get my cannon into the middle of your horsey guys,
you can't,
and guys, they're
you
dead.
You can't move the cannon forward.
I can change the distance the cannon shoots.
And then I just move out of the way. The cannonball takes a long time to get to the other side of the screen. You can never, ever, ever lose any troop to a cannon unless you're an idiot.
You can lose a troop to a cannon.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
Only if you suck.
No.
All right, we'll play the game after this.
All right, where are we going to get this game?
We've got it on the emulator.
All right, we'll have to go try to play it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll play it right after this.
It's a hard game to play.
I mastered that game.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Not at all.
I played it with my little brother constantly.
Whatever.
All right, we'll see. We'll see, and we'll post it.
Anyway, it's about Bullet Bill. Bullet Bill's awesome. They should make more games where you're a different character besides the main character.
Yeah, the game does something really well in that if you die, it just immediately starts you over and you can try again.
Yeah, and every time you beat a level, you get a password. And that's a good thing because it's really, really hard. Like, I don't know if maybe I just suck at this kind of game, but I still haven't beaten level 2. Well, 1-2, I can't beat it yet. Well,
the game is really hard. The controls are really, really, really fickle.
I think what the game needs is to be a little slower in the scrolling so that you can see far, or wider, so I can see farther ahead.
It feels like it's going at about the speed that a Bullet Bill would have been going in Mario 1.
No, Bullet Bills went slower than that.
Not too much slower.
Yeah, they went pretty slow. This is going like a double or triple speed Bullet Bill.
It's really just a memorization game. Once you memorize a level, you win.
Yeah, but sometimes it's also a reflex game. Like, oh, remember, I have to go up, but if I start pushing up too late, it's over.
It would be a good game to have an analog control for.
It's definitely a much better game where if you could watch someone play it who knew what they were doing, you get everything you need to get out of it pretty quickly, and then you don't need it anymore. The game's done. Of course, I really just want to beat one world because supposedly when you get to a -4 level, Mario and Luigi are there and you try to hit them. So that's why I'm still playing, just to see that. Once I see that, I'll probably have no more reason to play.
If I made the game, one, I mean, it'd make it incredibly difficult like that did to actually get to the world X4 where you fight Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I'd set the game up with some sort of logic so that Mario would always dodge you no matter what.
That's a good one.
That would be the most cruel, horrible thing that could be done to a man.
Or I'd make it a little more easy and more fun because the point of the game isn't to make
No, I'd make it impossible because you know that instinct when you're playing a game and you get real close to beating it, but you just can't beat it. You just keep playing it over and over and it's hard to stop until you win.
Sometimes.
You could get people to sit there, I almost got Mario. Oh, I almost got him again. Oh, so close. I'll stop as soon as I hit Mario. But you can't hit Mario, because the logic of the game won't let you.
That's just dumb, because then people would find out and post it on a forum somewhere, and then no one would play.
No, they wouldn't, because not many people would even get that far.
Anyway, the game also has really good music and sounds and such.
That it does.
Yep. Play Bullet Bill until you get driven insane by it, then don't play it anymore.
Or just watch the Mario Communist video over and over again.
A couple times is enough.
Yeah, it'll get you real pumped up for communism.
Just what we need, more damn commies. Communist Bullet Bills.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so today's main bit was Scott's idea, so you can introduce it.
Oh, so it's really hard to come up with ideas for what to talk about on Thursday.
Well, no, we have a lot of ideas. They're ones that require research or an interview or stuff that we haven't got prepared.
Right, so today we're going to do a geek fable, but there's going to be multiple fables, but they all have the same moral, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, mostly this idea came from the fact that we get a lot of feedback that people really just like to hear us tell stories.
Yep. So today is geek fables of illness and injury.
We've got plenty.
Any fable having to do with illness or injury will be told today.
So I'd like to start by saying that other than one pinky toe, I've never broken a bone in my body.
I've only broken one bone in my body ever.
Which one?
My collarbone.
Ah.
I was sitting on a swing set on a part where you're not really supposed to sit, and then I fell off and I landed on my back on the ground, and I said, ow. And then I went to the emergency room, and they looked, and they x-rayed, and they were like, oh, yeah, your collarbone's broken. I'm like, well, what do I do? They're like, you don't do anything. It'll just be better soon.
Nah.
And then they gave me like a little sling for my arm, and they're like, here, scare your mom with this. And then that was that.
Oh, so it was just like a hairline fracture. It wasn't broken.
Well, I don't even know what it was, but it doesn't. Now I can reach really far around my back, so it's great.
Because when I was a kid, when we lived in New Baltimore, and we moved out of Detroit and into the suburbs, there was a place, we were kids, and there was this street that didn't have a name yet, but it was part of a future development. And it had this big mound of dirt that over the years kids had sculpted into mini little BMX cars. We called it Dirt Hill Road.
Dirt Hill Road.
And the BMX thing was called Dirt Hill.
All right.
Yeah, we were creative little kids. Well, a friend of mine did a really awesome jump. Like, he did this thing. He goes up on his bike. He jumps really high, falls backward. He lands on Dirt Hill. He broke his collarbone. He had to wear this giant, like, hold him in a certain position thing for months.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, you didn't break your collarbone. You got a little hairline fracture that healed itself.
I don't even know. I was so young, it's not even...
You didn't have a giant metal thing holding your shoulders at a specific angle.
Never.
Yeah, you didn't break your collarbone.
Yeah, but now I can reach really far around my back.
So can I.
I can touch every part of my back.
So can I.
Oh, all
I never
right,
broke
then.
My collarbone. That's not the only people who can't touch their whole back are either really fat or really inflexible.
We should have a survey. Who can touch every part of their back?
You know what? We will. Post in the forums. Can you touch every part of your own back?
Yeah.
The best way.
Do you need a sponge on a stick or a towel on a stick?
I wash myself with a rag on a stick.
Yeah, you do, eh? All right. Let's see. When was the next time I was injured or
Yeah, we'll
Ill?
Do injuries first. I've had some horrific bike accidents, but I'll save those.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Oh, here's one. So I don't know how old I was, maybe 10? I don't remember.
You were sentient, at least.
Yeah, it might have been 10, because I think I was in 5th grade. And, like, my dad had come home from a business trip. So I went over to the door. I don't know if I was running full out, but I was sort of running. And at the bottom of the stairs in my house is sort of like this big stair. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a landing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the stairs are in between the living room and the den. And so to cross from the den to the living room, you go up a little bit and then down. You know, it's like one stair, and then to the left is the actual stair.
Yeah, it's the landing.
Yeah, the landing. So I tripped over the landing, and the right side of my face landed on the floor. Like, just flat on the floor, the right side of my head. Just wham!
That would have been great. Your dad opens the door like, I'm home! Crack!
Wham! And then I had braces at the time.
Ah!
So the brace on, like, my bottom, like, you know the pointy tooth, right? The what's
canine?
It called? The canine tooth, my right bottom right canine tooth, the tooth to the left of that, so the rightmost front bottom tooth, the brace on that went into my lip, just into it.
I have many braces and lip stories because I played the trumpet.
This was all the way in. Like,
did it come out the front?
No.
Not so bad.
But, you know, so then I'm gushing blood all over the place. Just bleeding, 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 bleeding.
If I was your dad, I don't know if I could help laughing.
I don't know. So I'm bleeding, 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 bleeding. We had like a whitewash cloth, and I got it all wet, and I put it up there to apply some pressure. Red washcloth. Just bleeding, 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 bleeding. And I'm a little kid, so I'm like, am I going to bleed to death? What am I going to do? I'm just standing there bleeding all over the place, you know. Then eventually they're like, all right, we'll go to the stupid hospital. Went to the stupid hospital, and I had to get stitches in my lip. So, you know, stitches in your lip sucks ass. God damn.
I can imagine.
And now I have this bump on my lip that's permanent. It's still there.
Ah.
You can feel it if you want.
Nah, I got my little stitch scar.
There's like this whole lump of scar tissue in my lip. Like,
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's not pleasant.
I had a similar falling down the stairs incident. This is probably the most serious injury I ever had.
No, what about the bike spoke?
Yeah, the bike smoke wasn't that serious.
It sounded the most serious to me.
It wasn't serious. It wasn't life-threatening like the falling down the stairs.
All right.
Now everyone's wondering, what's the bike smoke? That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
It isn't good, and I still got a mark on my leg.
It's really not good.
Yeah. But okay. When I was a little kid, because we had the same kind of stairway that Scott has, you know, except the landing was at the top.
Uh-huh.
So you go it was actually two landings. Like, you come out the hallway, and you go down a few steps, and then there's a landing and a door to this tiny little deck. A tiny little deck that was a story up, and it was really kind of useless. My parents never let us play on it.
I wouldn't let you play on it. It's dangerous.
They wouldn't, we never even opened the door. And it was like a normal steel door, like the kind of security door you'd have on your front door.
Yeah.
But it had a skeleton key. It was kind of cool. Remember, I had a dream once where there's something there.
Anyway,
I opened the door and there's something there, and it was cool. Anyway, then it goes down to another landing, and then 90 degrees back, there's the long stairway down. And I remember very specifically, I was eating snacks. I was eating cheese nips, which are the same as Cheez-Its, and I was eating Chex Mix.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went upstairs, and I was eating Alphabits. Like, I had three bowls of each, and I was eating them all.
Three bowls of each? Nine bowls?
Well, no, I had one bowl of each, a total of three bowls.
All right, I'm like, what the hell?
And for some reason, I was eating all of them.
All right.
I had these three separate bowls, and I ran upstairs to do something. And I was walking back downstairs, and I missed a step, and I rolled all the way down the stairs to the bottom, like, ba-dum, 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 whump. And I just laid there. I don't know if I was knocked unconscious or what. I was really young.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I know, there's paramedics standing around me, and they're like, can you move your feet? And I was like, no. And they freaked out. They're like, oh, my God. And my parents are freaking out. Everyone's freaking out. And I'm like, oh, wait, yeah.
Oh, wait, yeah.
That, I don't remember much else other than that I'd wear a neck brace.
Oh, wait, yeah.
Yeah.
That's classic. Can you move your feet? No. Oh, my God. Oh, wait, yeah.
I think I was still a little delirious from the fact that I was knocked out.
I think so, too, but that's great.
And partly I was scared to move it because I remember my mom yelling, don't move your neck. It might be broken. And I was like, what happens if it's broken? She's like, it paralyzed something. I didn't understand what was going on.
Mm.
But yeah, I was fine. I just had to wear a neck brace for a long time. At least a long time for a kid.
Did it get all itchy and whatnot?
I had a couple. I changed it, and I could take it off at night, and it was a pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't die, obviously.
Or did you? Dun, dun, dun!
God, there was a thread on Far Flame War today about that. Don't get me started.
Really?
Some guy was like, every time you think you almost died, but you made it, like a car almost hit you, you really did die. And as far as everyone else is concerned, you're dead, and you just split off into a different universe. Everyone lives to old age.
You're a nutcase.
Yeah, and the flame war started because he wasn't kidding. And he
yeah? Well, hey, if that guy's out there listening, come over to my house. I got a knife with your name on it.
No, he's fine, because as far as he's concerned, you missed, and then you went to jail, and he keeps leading his life.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Anyway.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to hold off on the bike spoke, because... anticipation and all that. So, yeah, what do you got? Any more injuries?
There was the RIT leg injury.
Oh, yeah, that was classic. That involves the Fight Club.
It does.
Oh, the Fight Club.
So, at RIT, at some point, I hurt my leg. Don't ask me how I hurt my leg. I hurt my leg.
It might have been in some sort of roughhousing event with Pete. We're
it
not
might
sure.
have been some roughhousing.
Because there was some roughhousing with Pete previously.
Was there?
Yes.
I don't remember.
There was some minor amount of roughhousing.
Anyway... So the roughhousing or whatever it was resulted in this horrible bruise, a giant bruise on my leg, huge.
Yeah,
so much so that it must not have been immediate because it didn't I woke up one day and it hurt. It wasn't someone hit me and then it hurt immediately. It was someone must have hit me and then it over time got shitty. And then one morning I woke up and it hurt to walk on a leg. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, and he keeps saying to me, my leg really hurts. It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts more. And I was like, go to the doctor. I don't need to go to a doctor. It's just a bruise.
Yeah, I looked at it. It looked like a bruise. I'm walking around and it hurts to walk. I'm kind of limping and shit. So then I'm like, all right, whatever. So then it gets a little better. I'm like, oh, it's getting better. Hooray. It's just a bruise. I'm all right.
Uh-oh.
And then it got worse. So I'm like, okay, when something gets worse, I'm going to go to the doctor.
Yep.
So I went to the school doctor, and he's like,
You actually saw that? They never actually put me into the school doctor. I always got the nurses.
See, at first it was nurses, but apparently the only male doctor at RIT's health center at the time was a, what's the name of the doctor? Orthopedic, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the one who deals with muscles and sports injuries and that sort of shit. Orthopedics, I think, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway. So he, like, looks at it, and I'm like, yeah, so it was a bruise, and then it hurt less, and then it hurt more. And now it's hard to walk, really hard to walk. And he's like, And eventually, after enough humming, he's like, all right, there might be a blood clot in your leg, which means bad stuff.
Yeah, you could die.
Yeah, so he's like, so I'm going to send you to the hospital so they can look at it. I'm like, great. I go to the hospital, and they ultrasound it. And it's fine. And I waited at the hospital for a long time because a bunch of more injured people were there in front of me. As is with hospitals, of course.
Yep.
So now it's late at night in the hospital and I need to get home. So I call a cab. And there's a cab that will take that if you're an RIT student, they'll just charge your RIT student account.
Yeah, they don't help you out if you're hurt at RIT. They just make it easy for you to pay.
Yeah, here. Here's a free ride to the hospital in the RIT ambulance when you don't really need an ambulance. Now get home on your own, bitch.
God, remember when I had to drive Alex back from that hospital in the blizzard?
Yep.
I'll tell that story.
That's a good one. Yeah, it's someone else's injury. We'll go with that.
Woot.
Anyway, so I call a cab, and this one cab service where if you get in their cab and you're an RIT student, it's okay because they can charge your student account. I called that cab company, but apparently some other cab company came, and I got in their cab, I don't know, by accident? I don't know.
I think they worked some sort of scam.
I don't know what it was, but it was some sort of mix-up, and I got in the wrong cab, and they was like, no, you pay me cash now, and I was like, fuck. Luckily, I had enough cash, but I left my cell phone in his car, and then I got home, and I still was, you know, hurt to walk still, but I still needed my cell phone back, so Rim drove me to the cab company's office, and then I got my phone back. And they went home, and it just sucked all around. I didn't even get crutches. I had to go back to the health center, like, the next day to get stupid crutches so I could fucking walk.
Now, the injury there, that's not the best part of this.
What was the best part? Oh, right.
You can't forget the fucking
fight. Oh, yeah,
so
the injury was, just so you know, the injury was, like, a pulled muscle that, you know, was really pulled a lot. And it just got re-pulled at some point because I was walking on it. And
maybe it was caused by your sedentary lifestyle?
No, it was not.
Anyway.
Later, what happened, because I went to the campus health center, campus safety, the security for the school, came and knocked on my door. And they're like, were you injured recently? And I was like, oh, yeah. What do you think? Someone beat me up? You want me to turn them in? I don't even know how I got injured. They're like, oh, are you in some sort of fight club?
Literally.
They're like, are you in a fight club? And I almost was like, yeah, me and everyone in this building, we have a huge fight club. I was going to make up a whole big sarcastic story, but I was just like, no, this is going to be hilarious when I tell everyone what you asked me. And now I'm making more out of that humor.
Yep. So the best part is that later we wandered and we started Googling, you know, like RIT Fight Club. And we found two videos of guys beating the ever-living shit out of each
other. And our upstairs deaf guys who wrestled with each other.
Oh, not even that. Remember that video, RIT Fight Club?
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of guys fighting with each other in a dorm at RIT.
I guess there are actually, you know, not fight clubs like the movie, but I guess people got together to fight in sort of friendly fights of some sort because they're stupid. I don't know.
Well, there was that time we were all behind Gracie's fighting with sticks and then campus safety.
Kendo's a little different than just stupid fighting.
Yeah.
It's like, if a guy goes to karate class, it's not the same as if he goes to fight club.
Yeah, but that wasn't kendo class. That was all of us trying to beat Katsu to death with sticks and failing at it.
Yeah, I remember that time because I didn't really believe that anyone had magic ninja powers. I'm like, I can hit you with a fucking stick.
You couldn't hit him with a stick. None of us could. Even when we all
tried. Even once we couldn't hit him with a stick. I was like, come on, I can hit you with a stick, especially if we all go at you at once. And no, we couldn't hit him with
the stick. He would just whirl it around, and he'd, like, poke us all with his stick, like, I could have killed you all. I could have killed you all again. I could have killed you all again. And yeah. We're flailing at him as hard as we can. We couldn't do anything to him.
Nope, not a thing. But I learned a lesson. All right, so Injuries and illnesses.
Yeah, I can't hold the bicycle spoke any longer.
All right, go for it.
So I'm biking, as I like to do. I used to mountain bike heavily. I bike constantly. I love biking. I've had the same bike for, 12 years now. It looks like the most ragged, falling apart piece of crap, but it still works. Now, at one time, I was riding, and it was a cliff, but it wasn't a deep cliff. It was like a trail through the woods, and there's like a 15 or so foot drop-off to the left of it. And it's kind of a windy trail, and I'm going, and there's a stick kind of stuck in my front brake. So I lean forward while I'm riding, not really thinking, and I grab this stick, and I'm going to rip it out of my brake so I can just keep going. And then I hit a rock or a log or something, and it pushed my hand into my spokes.
Oh.
Now, instead of my wrist breaking, though I still have a mark on my wrist from where my hand went into the spoke, it just broke the spokes and flipped me over my handlebars. And then I proceeded to fall down that 15 or so foot drop.
Great.
And I landed in this bog area.
Great.
Now, the spoke had broken instead of my wrist. Somehow, I ended up with the spoke having been pushed mostly through my leg.
Okay.
I was laying there, and I'm thinking, I feel fine. My wrist hurts a little, but it's not broken, so that's not so bad. And my leg really hurts, and I look, and I'm like, nothing's wrong with it. Wait a minute. And there's a spoke sticking out of it. I pull the spoke out, and there comes the blood. And I thought, well, should I put the spoke back in?
No, you shouldn't.
Now, the thing was, I was in the woods, really nowhere near my house. I didn't have a cell phone or anything. This is high school. I mean, we had a family cell phone back then, but my parents weren't going to let me take that with me biking. It was like, it was huge, and I'd lose it.
And it was expensive.
Yeah. So I ride my bike home, and all the while I'm bleeding, and my socks turning red, and there's blood everywhere. And I get home, and I go into my house, and I'm like, Mom, I had a bike accident. And she comes around, she's like, well, oh my God, you're going to the hospital. I'm like, what? It doesn't even hurt that much. She's like, you're going to the hospital. And I go to the doctor, and I don't think it's so bad. And I'm looking, it's just a tiny little hole. And then he's like, well, how deep is it? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, And he takes a Q-tip, and he's poking at it. And I can't see because I'm laying on my stomach. And he's like, how deep do you think that is? And I thought, it probably healed. It's probably only like a centimeter or two deep. He's like, turn around and look at it. And I look, and you see his hand there. Then he pulls the Q-tip all the way back out of my leg. And he's like, you're getting a stitch. I'm like, one stitch? He's like, yeah, just one. It's all you need. And I got one stitch.
Awesome.
And now I got this tiny little scar on my leg where there was one stitch.
Of course, there's a giant gaping hole behind it.
Yeah, they put goop in
there. I should cut you there, and then we'll poke a Q-tip down and see.
I'm sure it healed by now.
We'll see.
Yeah, you put goop in there so it wouldn't get infected.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do.
I think I had to get a tetanus shot.
Yeah, you need one of those.
Yeah, I got a tetanus shot before when I stepped on a rusty nail in the woods.
Is this one time I had tetanus, right? No, not really. But
yeah, I had the bubonic AIDS.
The bubonic AIDS.
I did have Lyme disease.
You did have Lyme disease.
Yeah. Though I will preface that by saying that I spent my early years in Michigan in an area that is known as a hotbed of Lyme disease. Lyme disease isn't that common, but there are a few areas in the world where it is very concentrated.
That's because there's a lot of fucking ticks.
I've lived in two of the top three tick-infested areas.
Ticks are nasty fuckers.
Yeah. Now, normal ticks are fine. I mean, they bite you when they burrow in, but you just set them on fire and rip them out. No big deal.
Yep.
The ticks that give you Lyme disease are so small you won't see them.
Well, they're deer ticks.
Yeah, little bastard deer ticks. They're tiny. They're like the size of a period at the end of a sentence. They look like a mole. You won't even notice them. They don't hurt or anything.
Yeah, you can't even tell that they're there unless you, like, look for them on purpose. Magnifying glass is good for that.
Yep. So, I mean, whenever I go into the woods, I always have to take a shower, and I stand there naked for about 5 minutes with a mirror, looking at all my bits, making sure there's no ticks on them.
It's a good idea.
Because the worst thing is, I didn't even know this until I got Lyme disease and I learned more about it. Those little bastards will get on your leg. They won't just bite your leg. They'll crawl up your leg in your pants and then crawl over to your crotch because there's a lot of hair to hide in there where you won't catch them. Then they'll bite you.
Man, I would never find a tick if it got into my nut hair. He'd be totally lost. I'd be like, I didn't know he was there. There's no way I could have known. He's hiding behind a freaking forest of black and black.
You've got a goddamn afro down there.
I got a goddamn pube fro.
I keep myself nicely trimmed, but that's a conversation for another day.
That is a conversation for another day.
So I got this headache, and whatever, I've had headaches before. I got sinus problems. The headache stayed for about a week and a half, and it didn't get worse and it didn't get better. Imagine just a constant headache.
I don't really have headaches so often, so that's really...
Yeah, like it wasn't like I was thinking, all right, this is weird. Am I sick? Then I got a little fever. So I have a little fever and a headache. It's now been about 2.5 weeks. So I go to the doctor, and the doctor's like, you might have a brain tumor or something. We're going to do a whole bunch of scans.
Great.
And I was like, okay. And they do MRIs and all the CAT scan. They did a full-on CAT scan. My insurance paid out the ass for this. It was
the doctors are so smart.
They do all these tests. He finds nothing. And then after like 5 hours in the hospital, he says, take some aspirin, get some rest. You'll be fine. Call back in 2 weeks if it doesn't get better. Well, then I went to Wildwood, New Jersey, and I was, but the headache was so bad, I couldn't even go, like, water skiing and all the fun tubing, whatever, on the boat that everyone else did.
Whee!
Instead, I laid in
the
beach.
That was a fun time. You missed out.
I know, I did. Instead, I laid in the beach house going, fuck, fuck, fuck. So then I go back home, and I go back to the hospital, and I say, I still got the headache, bastard. And he didn't know, and he had no ideas. And then later, I'm sitting there, and this nurse is examining me, and she's like, you don't happen to live near Vassar Farm, do you? And I said, I run there almost every day. To which she said, all right, take off your shirt. And then she looked, and sure enough, in my sub-bender, or no, my anti-bender, got to keep the term straight here, in the middle of my anti-bender is a little bullseye-shaped kind of rash. To which she said, you have Lyme disease. And I said, great.
I'm glad you didn't bite me during that Wildwood trip.
You can't get Lyme disease from biting.
Good.
You can only get it from dare ticks.
Well, they bite. That's how they give it to you.
It doesn't work that way.
No? What if you bit me the way a deer tick bites?
If I bit your arm and held my mouth there for about a week, slowly sinking my face deeper and deeper into you without you noticing, eventually dying inside of your flesh, then, yeah...
Awesome. That would be great.
Now, so I learned a lot about Lyme disease from all that. And I learned that, one, it's a horrible disease that fucks you permanently, unless you catch it. If you catch it within, you know, several months of getting it, you just take antibiotics for a couple of months and it goes away and you're fine forever.
Yep.
Now, some people get screwed because there's really no test for Lyme disease. So if you don't get that little bullseye rash, there's really, most doctors have no idea. They won't catch it. And there's a guy at my
work.
Well,
if I ever have a headache for 2 weeks and I've recently been in the woods, I'm going to be like, I might have Lyme disease. Can you check?
Yep. I mean, the worst case is they'll just make you take horrible antibiotics for 2 months, which they'll make you kind of sick, but better that than what Lyme disease does.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because there's a guy at work who had Lyme disease for like, I don't know how many years.
Oh,
and then,
wow.
Yeah, and then they finally found out, because Lyme disease is kind of a new phenomena. It was discovered recently, and it's still not...
Yeah, it's only decades old, like, in terms of humans knowing about it scientifically
speaking.
Yeah,
it's named after that town Lyme. I think it's in Connecticut, actually.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's like the center of Lyme disease.
Yeah, it
obviously.
Is. Obviously. We were big on Lyme disease in Connecticut. Everyone always talked about it, like, check for ticks.
Yep.
Get Lyme disease.
Michigan,
oh, my God.
When I was very young, I was deathly afraid to walk into tall grass, because I was like, I'll get Lyme disease and I'll die. But yeah, it's unless you get if you catch it, it's fine. Catch it as in catch the fact that you caught it. But this guy
if
had
you
it,
catch it. That's not good.
Yeah, but this guy had it for years and years, and then they finally figured out what it was, and by then it was too late. And he's got permanent arthritis and like other troubles.
Ugh.
Yeah.
At least it's not like rabies or something.
Yeah, just death.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very happy. I just took some antibiotic.
You were
for a
happy
months.
That you had Lyme disease.
I was happy that I had no long-lasting ill effects from it.
Yeah, maybe you do, and just you don't realize.
Nah, because I went in for the follow-up, and they were like, yeah, it's gone.
Uh-huh. All right.
Plus, I took horrible antibiotics for 2 months. Plus a penicillin shot.
Ow.
If you've ever had a penicillin shot, it's syrupy and thick, and it's a big-ass needle, and they put it in your butt.
And it sucks ass.
It sucks.
It really sucks.
Yes.
Like, most shots really don't suck. Like, a TB test shot, nothing. MMR, nothing. Tetanus shot really sucks because it makes your shoulder feel like it's inflating. Like
shoulder? I had it stuck into my leg.
I get the tetanus shots in the shoulder.
Why?
And it makes you feel like your arm is inflating like a balloon. It sucks.
See, they told me I could have the shot wherever I wanted, but they explained to me that a tetanus shot, at least, if you get it in your leg, the thing that'll make a tetanus shot feel less bad is to flex the muscle a lot and work the muscle that it got injected into.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put it in your thigh, that muscle gets worked a lot because you're walking on it all the time. So it'll end up not hurting as much.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
That's what the doctor told me.
I haven't had a tetanus shot in a while. Maybe I should go get another one.
You got to get one every 10 years, you know. Otherwise, you're not protected.
I'm not worried.
We got those freaking rusty tack things sticking up out of the carpet by the back door.
Yeah.
I step on those, like, every day.
Yeah, I don't step on them, but I don't know. I don't have tetanus, obviously.
Yeah, you just like to bite things.
Yeah. Well, that would be rabies if I like to bite things.
So should we tell the story of the hockey puck?
Yeah, it's someone else's story, but they're not here.
No, this one we're going to...
And it's better than any stories I've got left, because I'm relatively free of illness and injury.
Yeah, though I will say, preface this one story by, we do have a moral. The moral is, if you're at a hockey game, watch out for hockey pucks.
Goddamn, watch out for hockey pucks.
Because Scott and I, actually, this hockey puck would have just as easily hit either Scott or me.
Okay, so we're at a RIT college hockey game, right?
Back when they were awesome.
Someone hits the puck, and it goes up the glass, and it goes over the glass. And somehow, the way he hit it, it was basically coming across the seats horizontally. So I'm sitting there on the long side of a hockey rink, looking at the ice. I turn to the right, and there's a puck where if I didn't move, would have hit me right in the face. Like, it was coming from the side. It was insane. So I duck, put my head between my legs, and cover the back of my head with my hands, and I go, fuck.
Meanwhile, I'm turning to the right, and I see Scott duck, and suddenly there's this black thing, and it's right in front of my face. And I went like, ah! I made this girly kind of scream. And I put my arm up like, ah! And it didn't hit my arm, because if it hit my arm, I would have been in a bad way.
Oh, you would have been in a very bad way.
But it was deflected slightly by my arm, like it just kind of touched my arm, and I had a little mark. And then our friend
Alex...
I
hear crack.
And we look, and Alex is sitting there. And we ask him, did it hit you? And he says, did what hit me?
Or he said he wasn't very clear because it hit him.
We're like, he was gone. There was nothing there.
Yeah, the puck like hit him in the glasses, and the glasses went into his head a little bit, and he was bleeding, and he was just like, hawa? Totally dazed. And we're like,
I don't remember if he actually had a concussion, but he was gone.
He was totally gone, and they always have ambulance guys there in case hockey players get injured. So we're like, hey, take him away.
Yeah, they ran. Now, the funny thing is, whenever a puck goes into the crowd, there's always this chant, give it to a kid, give it to a kid. And everyone will keep chanting it until you give the puck to a kid.
Yeah, because you're not supposed to keep the puck if you're like a college.
So we're all standing up around Alex, and he's sitting there. He has no idea what's going on because he's hitting the head with something. And the whole crowd's chanting, give it to a kid, give it to a kid.
And we're like, he got hit.
And then the whole crowd stops. They're like, oh.
And then they're like, all right, you can keep it if you got hit.
So they took him away, and they gave me, because I was the only one who had a car at the time, they were like, I gave them my phone number, and they said, we'll call you with something. And then they took him away.
So they took him away.
The hockey game continues.
The hockey game continued. We were cheering. We didn't forget all about it, but we're like, woo, hockey.
We kept the puck for him.
Yeah, we kept the puck. We watched our hockey game.
We get home. And I get a phone call. Now, keep in mind, at this point, a blizzard started.
Great.
I get a phone call. Yeah, it's me, Alex. They let me out of the hospital. Can you come pick me up? I was like, all right, I'll be at Strong in like 15 minutes. He says, I'm not at Strong.
Strong, if you don't know, is the closest hospital to RIT. It's an okay hospital.
I say, all right, what happened? He says, well, Strong was full, so the ambulance was diverted.
The hospital was full.
There were a lot of injuries that night. So they were diverted somewhere else. And I ask, all right, where are you? And he says the name of a town. And I've never heard that town before. I had no idea what he said.
Great.
And he didn't know where it was, and I didn't know where it was. And it ended up taking me almost an hour to find the place. In the blizzard.
Awesome.
It was great. Yeah, so if you go to a hockey game, watch for pucks.
If you go to any sporting event, except for maybe basketball or football, those are pretty safe.
But now, how many times have you seen a basketball player like charge and miss and just hit all those people in that front row?
Maybe, but mostly at baseball, hockey, and I guess those are the big ones. Lacrosse could possibly hurt you.
Soccer, you got to watch out for the fans.
Yeah, but mostly baseball and hockey. When you're at those sporting events, watch the fuck out for the ball and the puck. Oh my God, pay the fuck attention. It's not like a movie where you can just, like, doze off or whatever. You got to watch every single play to make sure the ball doesn't come and nail you.
Yep. Though in this case, to Alex's credit, that puck came out of nowhere.
It sure did. Goddamn.
We were sitting kind of low.
I didn't even realize it was out of the glass. I could have been in some serious trouble if, like, things were different by, like, a half a second.
Yeah.
Even less, like tenths of a second.
Because that thing was pretty much right on track to hit you square in the forehead.
Oh, God, I would have died. Well, if I wouldn't have turned to the right, it would have hit me in the side of the head. Like, right in the temple. Just
that would have been worse. That could have killed you.
That could have killed me. I turned to the right. Now it would have hit me square in the forehead or right in the middle of the face. Broken my nose, God knows.
Yeah.
And then I ducked, and am I glad I ducked. Ooh. Just makes me cringe thinking about what would have happened if it hit me. Ooh. Ooh.
All right, we've gone long, so we're not going to tell all the rest of our stories.
Oh, we have more tales of injury and illness.
I guess we'll have to save this for another
I've already told the story of, food poisoning on the floor in the bathroom.
Yeah, and I think I told my story of vomiting, diarrhea, food poisoning in New York City while poor Emily is sitting there holding the bucket.
Did you tell that story?
I think I did.
I don't know. That's a story that needs to be told.
All right, we'll end on this story. And the moral of this story is don't get food poisoning. Because it sucks.
I think the more we'll end with the moral, but that's all right.
Yeah, but I don't get sick that often. I mean, I have allergies, which come a lot, but I don't get sick often.
I really don't get sick. The only time I ever get sick is if I eat too much. If I eat too much food, I get like diarrhea. And if I really eat too much food, I'll vomit. But I haven't vomited in years.
He's like Jerry Seinfeld. He's got the streak.
I got the streak going. No vomits.
I gotta get me some Ipecac. Put a stop to this.
No, you're not going to put a stop to it. I'm keeping the streak alive, baby. No vomits.
I like how the closest you got to losing the streak was when I was vomiting, and it almost made you feel sick.
Well, because the smell of vomit's really nasty.
Yeah. So I was in New York City with Emily, and I'm like, I'd never really been to New York City in any capacity for forever. So I went there and, you know, tours and hanging out and doing all sorts of things and exploring the city. And exploring the city meant exploring food in the city. And I had a sandwich at this deli down in, like, downtown. I got food poisoning.
Mm-mm-mm.
I woke up the next morning, and I felt kind of eh. And she had some homework and studying to do, so she was kind of giving me the hint, go leave me alone, go wander around Manhattan. And I was very uncooperative. I'd rather just lay here in bed. Then I vomited.
Great.
I thought, all right, no big deal. Something must have been bad that I ate, whatever. And I think she left at this point, so I'm alone in her, like, in the dorm apartment thing. Then, about an hour later, I vomited again.
Fantastic.
Then, about 45 minutes later, I vomited again.
Three vomits.
At this point, I took some Pepto-Bismol.
Good job. I would have done that after the first vomit, but
yeah, well,
better late than never.
She came back and she got me the Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, okay.
Then, I vomited about a half hour later.
Okay.
And then I vomited about 20 minutes later. Now, at this point, I'm not eating or drinking anything. My body is making things for me to vomit.
Great.
Because
you're already cleaned out all the way.
Yeah, but...
Did you diarrhea at all?
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Though stuff kept coming out of my stomach. Then, one time I was vomiting, and then I felt this pain, and then I turned around, and I sat on the toilet, and then I diarrheaed.
Great.
And then I turned around, and I vomited. And it was the smell was so disgusting that I vomited again.
So you vomited because you were sick, and then you vomited because of the sickness.
Yeah. So I'm trying to keep as much, like, tepid ginger ale and water down as I can.
That's a good way to go.
Meanwhile, she's got, like, finals and work to study for. Like, she doesn't have time to deal with my crap. So I'm trying to play it tough. Like, don't worry.
I'll just call the ambulance and have them take me away. It's much easier.
Well, here's the problem. I was starting to get dehydrated.
Yeah.
When you get dehydrated, you get a little delirious. So I was not in my right mind by the time I was at the point where I needed to go to the doctor.
If I vomit more than twice in rapid succession, I'm already calling the ambulance. It's the end.
Well, when I've had flus before, I would vomit like that. That was nothing new.
I noticed.
Well, that time you saw me vomiting was also food poisoning.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
That fucking lasagna.
Goddamn.
So by the time I got to the point where I was delirious, and at which point she says, I'm taking you to the hospital.
Good move.
So we're hobbling down the street toward the hospital with a bucket. I don't think you need to. I don't need to explain why we had the bucket. I felt bad that I.
What if you had the diarrhea in the street?
I held that in.
Oh God.
Now, from this point on, I barely remember anything. I remember walking down the street with the bucket. I remember sitting in the cab with the bucket. I remember the cab driver really looking at me like, what's that bucket for? He found out. We get to the hospital. The hospital doesn't take emergency room patients. We have to go to a different hospital.
That's why I would have called the ambulance instead of doing the hospital.
Well, one, it's New York City. It was probably faster to go the way we did.
Yeah, the ambulances can be pretty quick depending on what's going on. But
plus, it wasn't life-threatening or anything. It just sucked.
It was almost life-threatening.
No, yeah, but I'm sitting in the waiting room, and I at this point, I'm gone. The next thing I remember is I'm laying in a hospital bed, and they're about to put an IV in me. And they put an IV in me, and that IV felt fucking great. Because it was a drip of like nutrients and electrolytes and all this fun stuff. Also, an anti-nausea medication.
Ah, that's a good one. So that'll make you feel real good.
I don't know if it was psychological or what, but I could feel the good feeling coming into my arm from that thing. Then the doctor comes over and he asks me, you need anything? And I said, my back really hurts.
Did your back hurt?
Yeah, my back hurt. Maybe from
being hunched over the toilet?
Yes. He gave me some Percodan.
Woo!
And everything was fantastic for the next hour.
All right.
Now, the worst part is, after the IV finished, and they'd done all the things they could do, and I was basically cured at this point. My stomach was a little dodgy, but I was okay. I was no longer food poisoned. I no longer had gastroenteritis. So, she's worried, because I was admitted to the hospital. I walk out of the hospital whistling, feeling great, and I'm like, let's go get some dinner. She about killed me. Yeah, the moral is don't get food poisoning.
And don't eat dodgy food.
Yeah, the food wasn't dodgy. It was this nice-looking deli in downtown Manhattan, and it was a good sandwich.
Yeah. All right. So, the moral of tonight's episode is...
Wheel of morality. Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Avoid injury and illness at all cost. Oh,
yes.
My God.
If you get food poisoning and you're vomiting a lot, go to the doctor before I did.
Just don't get injured and don't get sick. Do whatever you can to prevent it. It's the worst thing ever. Like, when you're a kid, it's great because you don't really get sick when you're a kid. You just feel kind of you don't go to school.
Actually,
when you're an adult, getting sick is like the worst thing ever.
Actually, when I was a little kid, I caught a dangerous, dangerous... freaking flu.
I got like pneumonia once, but then like all that did is I felt sick for one day, and then I stayed home for a whole week taking these pills, but I didn't feel sick after the first day, and I just watched The Price is Right and played video games all week.
I was hospitalized for the flu twice when I was a little kid.
Awesome. I think I had the flu once when I was a little kid, and I drank too much grape juice, and I had purple vomit coming out my mouth and nose.
One time when I had the flu when I was a kid, I ate a whole bunch of green Jell-O. And then I vomited.
The green Jell-O.
And my little brother, because he was really young at the time, I remember him recounting the story later. And he was like, Brandon's mouth opened as wide as it could, and a stream of green as big as his mouth just flew out. It was all in one go. It was like, whoop. Yeah. Yeah.
So, do let other people near you get ill and injured, because it can provide hilarity.
Yeah, I'm sure it was hilarious when you're laying in your bed trying to sleep, and every 30 minutes you hear me go, bargle, 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 bargle.
It would have been hilarious if I wasn't trying to sleep and it wasn't so loud it was keeping me up. If I could have just stood there going, ha, 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 you're vomiting and I'm fine. Like, it was during the day, that would have been the greatest.
You know, if you'd done that, I probably would have just turned and vomited on you.
Yeah, if you vomited on me, I would have just kicked you right in the nuts, and then you would have vomited again.
On you.
It doesn't matter. You'd have a kicked-in nut. Or two. Or three.
Actually, I got into a fight with a kid when I was in elementary school.
I got a lot of fights. And not so many of them.
No, it was a normal, like, it was going to be a normal fight. We're standing there, and we're like second grade, I think.
All right.
And we're about to punch each other. Then the bastard punches me in the balls.
Oh, man.
And I fell down. Ah! And it pushed one of my testicles up.
Yeah, that's happened.
Like, it re-undescended my testicle.
Yeah, that's happened.
Yeah, you had the same thing happen at some point?
The trick is, if one of your nuts...
Oh, I learned the trick, because I went to the doctor, and he was like...
You jump up and down on the heels of your feet. Just, and then eventually your nut will come back out.
Wait, how often has this happened to you that you need a trick?
Well, I used the trick once, but I've taught the trick to other people nearby when it's happened to them.
See, I didn't know the trick, so I was fine after he punched me. I was like, you fucker. Well, I didn't say fucker. I was a little kid. I was like, you dick. I said dick when I was a kid. For some reason, fuck was out of bounds, but I could say dickhead.
All right.
And then a couple hours later, it was like, there's a pain, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and oh, God, I went to the doctor, and they're like, I'm going to make your nut fall back down. And he made my nut fall back down.
Yep.
Then he taught me how to make it fall down if that ever happened again.
Just jump up and down. Stand on the heels of your feet only and jump up and down.
Now, also, don't, like, be careful with it, because if it's, your leg can kind of crush it in there.
Yeah.
You know what? Go to
You'll know because you'll feel your leg crushing it in there.
Yeah, it's a sensitive thing.
But I mean, like, it happened to me once, and I learned the trick from someone, and then it happened to someone in gym class, so I told him the trick, and, you know.
Yeah, the moral
around.
There, if someone punches you in the balls, fall down, because that's all you can do.
Yep.
But as soon as you get back up, I don't care how good a friend they are, punch them right in the balls.
No, kick them. You got to get your shin right across the whole groin, just straight up, just wham! That's the best way.
No, because the punch is better. You stand up, and you're like, you asshole. But you act like you're like, that was funny, though, ah, ha, ha. And then you're like, all right, whatever. And then as soon as he moves to, like, shake hands or anything, then you punch him in the balls. His name was Ricky, and I never got back at him.
Ooh, maybe we meet him one day. You can just kick him right in the freaking just...
I don't even know his last name. I barely knew my last name. I still remember in, like, preschool or whatever, we would have our name tags. And I didn't know my last name, but it was there. Like, I knew my first name. And I was always mad because kids with shorter first names could finish their homework quicker. All right, this episode got real long, so...
I guess we picked an okay topic then.
Yeah.
Yay.
Tell us all your funny or horrible injury stories in the forums. We'll all have a good laugh.
Yep. And come up with ideas for Thursday shows. Pretty much anything is okay as long as it doesn't involve science, technology, video games, board games, role-playing games, anime, manga, or comics.
Yeah, and we've got a lot that were already suggested, and we're going to do those at some point.
But the problem is a lot of the things that aren't just talking about a geekery require lots of effort. So come up with something that also doesn't require effort.
Yeah, tell us what you want to hear. We've got stuff we want to say. Tell us what you want to hear. Because the basic feedback we always get is, we love it when you just tell stories.
Well, we're running out of stories.
Not really,
but it's, you know.
We're running out of stories that we can tell with some sort of pretext, like, blah, 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 video games. Oh, well, when I was little, video game story.
Yep.
Most of our stories are going to be, all right, I'm going to tell a completely unrelated story, go. Yeah. We're trying to avoid that.
I think we're done here.
We're out. And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcast, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.